it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, for us to be a royal priest if we're not a holy priest, if we're not functioning as a holy priest. We are indeed both, but we're going to see what it means to be a royal priest. And so we're going to have this back up on the projector for us, and we're going to, I'll just read these verses in 1 Peter while they get that back up on the projector. Verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, and have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as those who are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. I'll just stop there in the reading of God's word. And when we think of this portion of scripture that we are looking at here, we find that these priests in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 19, they were to be a holy nation that was to be displayed to all the other nations. In that sense, they were royal. They were to be on display for all others to see. And today, that's what we find in Christianity. That's what we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've been brought into this place of priestly privilege and responsibility. Now, we're going to talk about practicing, putting into action our priesthood as royal priests. Now, I put Ephesians 5. I'm not going to take the time to read those verses, since we're limited with some time, but those verses go right along hand in glove with what we're talking about here. It's talking about walking in love, walking in light, walking in wisdom. It's talking walking circumspectly. In Ephesians chapter 5, those verses have to do with our conduct. Our conduct. When scripture talks about our walk, it really has to do with our conduct. But let's focus for a few moments on here in 1 Peter chapter 2. When we look at these verses, well, the first thing that we see is that we are royal priests. We are a chosen generation. Chosen generation. We understand from scripture that we've been chosen before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world, before there was anything else. God had chosen us. And now in Christ we are a chosen generation, that our generation right now, we're to be like like David, who served his generation and then he fell asleep. Well, we are to serve our generation. We're a chosen generation for right now, for this moment. We're to be like Esther. Who knows for what time that God has chosen you for this moment in time. And so this is what God has for us. We are a chosen generation. And not only are we this chosen generation. Okay, you can click to the next thing. Not only are we a chosen generation, but it says here that we are a holy, or a royal priest. The idea of being a royal priest is that we're to be devoted to the service of God. Royal, or as we had in the book of Revelation chapter 5, that we are to be a kingdom of priests. Royalty is to be seen. You know what happens to so many of us as Christians? We lose sight of the dignity that Christ has brought us into. We just believe a lie that the devil lulls us to sleep with apathy. And we just believe that, okay, is that we are on display. You know what Scripture says? That we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus. What is the word workmanship? It's where we get our word poem from. It's poenia in the Greek. What does it mean? It's that we are His masterpieces. You and I are God's masterpieces. And we're on display as a royal priest. The world is supposed to see what Christianity really looks like by looking at my life. Wow, isn't that challenging? But they're supposed to see what Christianity is by looking at your life. That should even be more challenging to you. The world looks at us and they want to see what Christ is like. But what the devil does is lull us to sleep so that we're not effective. And let me tell you this. I was talking to somebody once, and I was trying to get some help from this guy and this brother. And I was telling him, you know, I'm really struggling with this and really hurting and this, that, and the other thing. And he says, I don't know anything about any of that. And I remember the words that Brother Campbell once said. If the devil isn't picking on you, you're not a threat to him. If the devil is leaving you alone, then you're no threat to him. If the devil isn't knocking on the door of your family is no threat to the devil. If the devil's not knocking on the door of this assembly and shaking up this assembly and trying to destroy things, then this assembly is no threat to the devil. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy anything that's there for the glory of God, because we're on display. And the world is supposed to look at us. Yes, we have problems with one another. Yes, of course. But God has given us every resource. He's given us the Spirit of God. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the man of God in glory. He's given us every resource. We have no excuses why we can't get along with each other. Except the flesh. The flesh in me. And the flesh in you. And so we're on display. And in the context of each of these passages of scriptures, we see that we're supposed to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You know, when I look at this term, royal priesthood, I just make this comment before we move on. You know, a kingly priest. Do you know that there, other than Melchizedek, there is no such thing as a kingly priest in Scripture? Melchizedek speaks of Christ, so he's the kingly priest. But there was a king. You remember King Uzziah? Remember, he was a king, but he wanted to function as a priest. Did God allow that? No. The man got leprosy because he didn't stay in his lane, you might say. He didn't stay in the area that God had put him in, that God had chosen for him. He ended up with leprosy. He ended up losing his kingdom. And so this idea of kingly priest, wow, think of it. Now we are royal priests. You and I. As he is, so are we in this world. We're on display. We're to display Him. Notice it says in our verse that we are a holy nation, His own special people. That word special is peculiar. All right, let's say it. Some of us are more peculiar than others. It's true. But the word really means His own special people. We're His special people that He has placed right here in this location, right in your location where you're at, right in Corunna, Michigan, where I'm at. His own special people. What are we to be occupied with? My translation says that we are to, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I prefer the translation that says that you might proclaim the excellencies of Him. Not just the praises, but the excellencies. It raises it up a bar, doesn't it? The excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why? Because we once weren't a people, but now we are a people. We're His people. We're His chosen people. You see, we lose sight of this. And so we end up scrapping with one another. We end up with fighting with one another. We end up with saying, I'm done with these people. I'm leaving. And we lose sight of the place of dignity as His priests, that He's placed us where He's placed us. And when He placed us there, He also placed the other ones that we might not get along with so well. But here's the thing. Do you leave point A to go to point B? There's something you need to know. You take yourself with you wherever you go. And if you can't get along in point A, what makes you think you're going to get along in point B? You see? But if we lose sight of these things, and if we remember that He's placed us where He's placed us, a holy nation, a peculiar people, it says the people of God. You know, the first time God called Israel my people, He spoke from the burning bush. And He said, these are my people. Think of that. But in the book of Hosea chapter 9, He says, call His name Lo Amin, which means you're not my people. But we have been called His people, His chosen people. Think of the character. Look at verse 11 and 12, and we're just going to wrap this up. In verse 11 and 12, we see the character of our royal priest. He says, I beg you, beloved, He says. He says, beloved, I beg you. I beg you. And He uses this term, beloved. Peter uses this often. You know, Peter, I don't know how you think about Peter. But when I think of Peter, I think of a rugged guy. He was a fisherman. He was an outdoorsman. Spent all of his time outdoors before Christ. Fishing and probably tan. You know, probably dark skin, dark complexion, probably rough face. Probably had a leather face. I don't know. I'm letting my whole imagination get away with me. But I think of this rough guy, right? But you know, Peter uses some of the most tender language. He uses the word precious, the precious blood. He uses the word beloved over and over again to address his brothers and sisters. You know, Peter was a man of action. Peter was a man that kind of jumped the gun on certain things as you read in the Gospels. But he was a man that got things done as well. But I think in his older age, I get the sense, and when I read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, I get the sense that this man had a deep appreciation for the people of God. And he addressed them as beloved. I wonder if we address one another as beloved more, Beloved brother, beloved sister, maybe if we didn't say it, but we had it in our heart for one another, I wonder if we'd have less difficulties with each other. I'll just throw that out there. But we find that he called them beloved. He called them sojourners. A sojourner is someone that does not belong. He called them a pilgrim. A pilgrim is someone who's going home. He told them to, in the area of submission, he speaks about submission, the character of this royal priesthood. He said, remember who you're connected to. You're connected to the beloved Son of God. And so be beloved to one another. As he is, so are we in this world. Sojourners, you're just passing through. You're not home. You're pilgrims on a journey. But be submissive in the world that you live in to the authorities that God has placed over you. Be submissive. And then he speaks about the conduct. He speaks about... Did I skip one? There we go. There it is. He speaks about the conduct of this royal priest. And when we think about this conduct, he mentions this. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, he says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, that's our conduct. We walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have no fellowship. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And John of course writes in absolutes. John either says you act like a Christian. If you are a Christian, act like one. That's basically what John is saying. He writes in absolutes. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, we read, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Believers are in the light. And we're to demonstrate that light. We're to show forth that light day in and day out. We're to live that out in our daily lives. We once walked, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 14. He says, we once walked in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them by your light, he says. By the light that's in you, expose them. And then he goes on to say, for it is a shameful thing even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. You know, sometimes I think believers spend too much time talking about all the bad that's in the world. And we repeat everything. And maybe we're not even supposed to even talk about it. We're supposed to move on from it. This is part of our conduct, right? And then lastly, in Romans chapter 13, he says, in doing this, knowing the time, that it's now high time to wake up out of your sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day and not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness. Not in lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. In that passage of scripture in Romans 13, he says, it's time to wake up. It's time to clean up. It's time to dress up. And it's time to look up. Think of that. So as we think about this then, this is the conduct, this is the example, living out our royal priesthood. And you know, the best example, going back to 1 Peter, and I'm going to close with this. I said that three times already, so this one's for real. Sometimes pilots have to circle the airport. But here it is. The example of living out this royal priesthood. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, is given to us at the end of the chapter, where the Lord Jesus is set before us as the one that suffered and died. And He suffered as an example for you and for me. You know what's interesting about that? I'll just point this out real quick. I'm still landing. Don't worry. Chapter 3, verse 1. We look at this example. Servants be... Okay, backing up to verse 18 of chapter 2. Servants, be submissive to your own masters. And then verse 21. For to this you were called. To this you were called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. Then we have this example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, 23, 24, 25. Then notice this. Wives, notice this. Verse 1. Wives, likewise. Likewise what? Just like the Lord Jesus. He's your example. Husbands, you're not off the hook. Look at verse 7. Husbands, likewise. Christ is the example. Husbands, likewise. Verse 7. Dwell with them in understanding. Finally, you all. Well, that pretty well covers all of us. You might say, well, I'm not married, or I don't have a husband, I don't have a wife. Well, how about you all? That takes in everybody, right? So, Christ is the example of living this royal priestly service. Sometimes when we look at the scriptures, sometimes we look at them in sections. And we look at those verses that talk about our holy priesthood and our royal priesthood, and we separate them from the rest of the chapter. And I don't think we do ourselves right. Take it all in together and see how the context speaks to every area of our life. As royal priests, proclaiming the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Perhaps a brother could close in prayer.